This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Imagine a photograph. It's black and white and a shimmering silver from the fog that's lifting off the ocean and wrapping around a chain of wooden fishing boats in the image. Fishermen lean over the sides, gathering up nets by hand, pulling out the smudged gray shapes of the fish they've caught in their long haul. It's a classic, even timeless, New England image. But this one wasn't taken a century ago. Rather, it was captured very recently by documentary photographer Markham Starr. Starr has spent the past several years documenting three dying industries in New England: the trap fishermen off Point Judith, Rhode Island, the dairy farmers of North Stowington, Connecticut, his hometown, and the last sardine cannery in America, the Stinson Seafood Plant in Prospect Harbor, Maine, which shuttered its doors last year. Markham Starr's photographs are currently on display at the Tufts Art Gallery. He recently took me on a walk through his exhibition, Capturing Community: Farming, Fishing, and Canning in New England.
This is one of the trap boats out of Saconnet Point, Rhode Island. There's only four companies left trap fishing in Rhode Island, where there used to be hundreds and thousands of people employed. There's down to four companies and about 50 people, roughly. So a lot of the fleet in Point Judith has disappeared. It's just gone. I went there the other day. They're actually cutting up one of the steel boats. A lot of the wooden boats have just been dumpstered. So I thought, well, somebody's better document it before they're gone. And so I started going out with them on trips, five-day trips out, two-day, one-day trips out to see, photographing them at work there and on shore.
Were you ever a fisherman? Or a
no,
dairy farmer?
No. Although my family made fish nets, my great-grandfather started fish netting, my grandfather ran it, then my father ran it, and then it sort of collapsed when synthetics came in and they were importing cheaper netting from Asia. And the trap fishermen here only fish in the summer, and that's part of the problem. These young guys don't know how to mend the nets anymore. They don't know how to build the traps. As a matter of fact, they've told me there's nobody who knows how to build one of these traps anymore. They can repair what they've got. So I also am sort of worried about, you know, the way the country is heading and where we're going to end up. All these people who produce things are rapidly disappearing, no matter what field they're in.
There's actually a particular photograph over there that I want to just seems very of the cow. It's just a beautiful image of a cow. Looks like the cow's having some hay, and just the way it's lit with the steam sort of just emanating from the cow's nostrils. It's exactly what you think of when you think of a New England dairy farm.
Yeah,
spare but beautiful all at the same time.
Yeah, he's backlit by a window. This is the old stanchion type barn, previous to modern farming techniques. The cows would come into those metal pipe stanchions, put their heads through, and could actually be held in place while they ate and were milked and all of that. But they're all small family-run dairy farms. Earliest is 1791. The youngest is about 100 years old. The elder farmers, of course, are reaching the end of their working careers, and in most cases they don't have family that may take over, so it's kind of up in the air as to what will happen. Dairy farming in New England has been under a lot of pressure for various reasons and is rapidly disappearing. In Connecticut, there were 5,000 dairy farms in the 1940s. By 1995, I think there was 300 left, and today there's 152 farms left in Connecticut, all of Connecticut.
Does that make you feel as if your photographs have taken on or may take on an even more special significance than you originally thought, because the industries are vanishing so quickly?
We know what the big events in history were. Those were well documented, but nobody went, or very few people documented, what the average person was doing. And so part of it is, you know, I think just background and knowing that how important the photos were to me, realizing that these pictures in 100 years, you know, will be a different thing than they are now.
Before we talk in more detail, I'd love to actually just sort of walk around and take a look at some of these because they're not hanging
so
yet.
These are the women canning. There were 20 women that did all the canning, and they were canning tens of thousands of cans a day, and they're packing sardines by hand into every single can. It's really amazing. There's one, the fastest team there could pack 3,000 cans in a day. So these three women, Lila Anderson in the middle, had worked there the longest, 54 years. The three women there have well over 100 years.
Sardine packing.
Yeah.
And she's Lila, a tiny little
yeah,
woman.
Yeah, she's tiny.
She managed to give you a smile, though, didn't she?
Yeah. Oh, she's a sweetheart. And I went up to interview her after the plant had closed, probably a couple weeks after. And she was trying to find a new job at 78 years old.
And she didn't want to stop working?
No, no. And none of them did. You know, there was one older gentleman working there, and he had told me when he was hired by Stinson, when Stinson owned it, that as long as he could crawl through the door and wanted a job, there would be a job there for him. And that's what they did. They, as people got older and couldn't do one job, they moved him into a different position that they could do, you know, inspecting the cans as they went by, if not packing them, or something that was physically less demanding. So you don't have that community feeling where everybody's working towards a common goal. Now nobody knows where anybody works. They don't go to work together. They don't. Their kids don't necessarily play together. It's that kind of thing, I think, is disappearing as well.
When you were there and watching them work, in a way it wasn't just another day's work for them because they knew it was amongst their last.
Yeah, that was painfully obvious. And you walk around towns up there, which are small towns, but everybody either worked there or knew somebody who worked there. So it was really a part, an integral part of their lives. And they were really stunned that that industry, which had been thousands and thousands of people up and down the coast, has completely vanished.
I think one reason why I find these pictures so moving is that we're living in an age where the visual image is ubiquitous. Anybody can go out and snap a picture and put it up on Flickr and YouTube. And so photographs have started to take on a sense of impermanence in our culture. But these pictures, because you are actually capturing something that's disappearing, these industries, it almost feels like you're making them more permanent.
Yeah, I think the part of it, too, is that, you know, when we see images and they flash by us a million a day, they're not connected. And I found that in gathering big groups of images that do go together, that do tell a story, my hope is that they'll be more important. It's more storytelling than just shouting in the dark.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for sharing your photographs and the stories, more importantly, behind every one of them. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate your interest.
Markham Starr's photographs are currently featured in the Tufts Art Gallery exhibition, Capturing Community, Farming, Fishing, and Canning in New England. The images are hauntingly beautiful, and you can see many of them in a special slideshow on our website, radioboston.org.